It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland for the ride. Actually, Daniel, you've been on a bit of a ride visiting family recently, but back in the saddle.
Yes.
And raring to go. Did you listen to your show at all online while you were gone?
Yeah, in the
you
podcast.
Did?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Why not?
You were what, in the Virginia area, you said? Or
Baltimore. And
okay.
Went to Pennsylvania to look at Frank Lloyd Wright's, some of his houses, which
wow.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Frank Lloyd Wright. Well, hey, totally different subject today. Back into your well, I guess it could be similar, how to build a good counseling life and of good mental health. And there's a lot of things that are contributing to mental health problems in today's world. And as Daniel Pryor sees it this week, that's what we're looking at, some fundamental and problematic things going on in Christian mental health.
And, you know, part of Sound Mind show, Mark, is there's a lot of mental health shows on radios. And, of course, we try to do things a little deeper. You know, I had someone call and say that one of the ways that they, when they listen to the show, is they recognize that it's not superficial and it's not lightweight, that we really go deeper.
Not
and I
all.
Appreciate that. So
good.
Try to make this more than just run-of-the-mill mental health. So, yeah, the topic today, what I see fundamental and problematic in Christian mental health. And, of course, the name of my business is Bible-Based Counseling. And that's what got me into counseling, was just a burden for counseling in the church and body of Christ. And so I have a biblical perspective on what mental health is, and that comes from the Bible and that worldview. And so this is what I see when I'm counseling. Most of my clients are Christians, not all of them, but most of them are professing believers. And this is what I see as fundamental in Christian counseling, but also problematic. And so there are basically four areas, and these aren't exhaustive, but these are basically four areas that counseling kind of goes toward. And within these areas, there are problems. So they're fundamental, but they're also problematic. So I've got four down here, and the first has to do with medication. And this is an so I've got written here.
You think that's the number one thing that Christians are doing the way the world does that needs to change?
Well, I don't.
I
think we need to understand it. Yeah, I think we need to understand it. You know, as I've said, I never would flatly reject the idea of medication, but I think as Christians, we're running to it too soon. I just posted something, probably will post it as an article here later today, talking about how that, you know, depression and anxiety, I think we can, Christians should look at those first and foremost as a call to prayer. Mm. You know, if I have a physical ailment, that signals an irregularity in my physical body. If I have an emotional ailment, first and foremost for Christians, that should not alert me that I need to go talk to a psychiatrist.
So the emotional problem is not first and foremost a chemical imbalance.
Well,
it
is. And as I say, I will probably post an article here this afternoon, if it's not posted already, having to do with that. But it can't, of course, it's a chemical imbalance. You know, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, now, gals, you can do that too, but guys are probably, maybe have done it. If you hit your thumb with a hammer, you're going to have a chemical imbalance in your body because a lot of stuff is going to be running to your hand that would normally be in other parts of your body. Mm. But that chemical reaction is a natural reaction to something that should be addressed in the context of what happened. Mm. So if I have a chemical imbalance in my brain, certainly anxiety, depression, those kinds of things. It's a chemical imbalance, but it's a chemical imbalance that is a response to something that needs to be taken care of in the context. And if it's a spiritual context, it needs to be taken care of in that way. Mm. Of course, I can take a pill and nullify that effect, but do I want to do that? And so I think that Christians need, you know, they can look at these emotions as a call to prayer. And, of course, as I put in the article that's going to be posted here, that can be a problem for us because so few of us understand prayer. Mm-hmm. But So medication would be one, and what I see there is faith. The faith walk is slowly being replaced by just convenience and comfort. It's just so easy.
Which is what popping a pill is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not calling that wickedness. You know, if I get a headache, I take a pill. Sure. That makes sense. But if we have an emotional problems and concerns, I think for Christians, it should first and foremost be a call back to the faith walk. Secondly would be the parent and child relationship. That's something that comes up either as family counseling or my counseling individuals or marriages. And of course, our personalities and who we are is largely a result of our family of origin. So, the parent and child relationship comes up. And what I see there is a devolving into a lack of clear definition and objective. Just, you know, what is a parent? What is a child? As we were talking a little bit before the show of, parents who it just seems more politically correct to treat kids as buddies rather than
strong. I'm not your friend, I'm your parent. I mean, that's almost non-existent mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. People just want to be the friend.
Yeah. So role reversals and along with that an increasing pervasiveness of like detachment disorders where children are, when they grow up, they are dysfunctional in relationships because of the family setting and largely the role of parents and children. And also what we call cluster B personality disorders, which have to do with
tell us more about this. This is an interesting chart you showed me here.
So there would be four of them, and they'd be your histrionic, overly dramatized and theatrical. There would be narcissistic, very pervasively grandiose, lack of empathy, sense of entitlement, all
preoccupied with fantasies. That sounds like a lot of kids, a lot of adults.
Borderline disorder. The borderline personality disorder, I love you, I hate you kind of thing. A Fatal Attraction, I think, was a movie years ago about borderline disorder, but it's not always that dramatic. And then antisocial. So they're the four: histrionic, narcissistic, borderline, and antisocial. Mark, next week we're actually going to do a show on personality disorders, personalities that make specifically marriage relationships impossible. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do more on personalities next.
But this is coming out of the week. Way kids grow up in their family, the family of origin stuff.
And then the fourth one I have down here is just a materialistic cultural narrative that's seeping into the body of Christ and has been there for a while. But what we mean by materialistic is it's a worldview that says there's no spiritual life. It's just the physical existence is all there is. There's nothing outside of that. And we see this in behaviors of Christians when they don't realize what they're doing, taking compromise, politically correct values and morals, coming to us through indoctrination, through education, through the music we listen to, through the entertainment. My wife and I were watching kind of a BBC detective show. It took place in the 50s in France. And since I've been looking at this more closely, I was able to pick up on very, very subtle things in that picture that are socialistic and materialistic.
Coming right through the otherwise entertainment.
And it's amazing how much material we look at where the message of materialism and the fact that there is no spirit world is very subtle, and yet Christians we're digesting this stuff, and it's coming out in our
news, in our world, certainly through the media and entertainment.
Right. Yeah.
What about marriage, too, secularly defined in churches? What did you mean by this?
The way that the without realizing what we're doing, and it's evident in the way that marriage is run, that marriage is the secular definition of marriage, which is basically just marriage is an agreement between people, not even specifically two people anymore, but just people. It's not gender specific, but basically it's an agreement between people of sharing life, sharing all of our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations and ourselves, et cetera, et cetera. And that all sounds well and good, but we've lost the fact that it's centered in the purpose of God and in the life of Christ.
It's a contract as opposed to a covenant. I've heard the difference there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people committed to the the contract rather than committed to one another and committed to change and being changed and transformed into the likeness of Christ, whatever that cost might be. So I look at marriage and I tell people it is a death experience, and then I get shocked looks, but that's what it is. That's what it should be. Marriage should be.
Okay, so that's kind of a diagnosis of some of the problems of Christians mm-hmm. in their mental health. So let's move on here. The system.
So people come to counseling, yeah. And because you know, counseling today has become kind of a rescue of the collapsing society. It's filling in the absence of basically friends, family, and community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard like almost a counselor one time. I was going to some counseling, and he had a very cynical definition of what he was doing. He says, you're paying me to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what it's become in some ways.
Counseling and psychiatry is a Western phenomenon. It's beginning to be more global because the world is becoming Westernized in a large way. But it's a Western phenomenon, and it has increased. The role of counseling has increased as our society has become less friendly, less family, mm-hmm. and less community-oriented.
Yeah.
So there are three fundamental questions then, because of that, that underlie the counseling process. Counseling process, and that those three questions are, how should I feel, how should I behave, and who am I? And so people come, when we go to counseling, mm-hmm. those questions underlie all of the presenting problems and the help that we're trying to get. How should I be feeling? Should I worry as much as I do? Maybe I need a pill. Maybe should I be anxious? Should I be depressed? Because if people come and say, I'm a little bit anxious, and then they start telling me there's been a death in the family and I'm being sued and this and that. Well, you should be anxious. That would not be an abnormal feeling, for you. Mm. So the underlying question would be how should I be feeling given my circumstances, or how should I behave given my circumstances? How should I behave in this relationship, in this circumstance, in this situation? And the underlying question,
that's the biggie.
Who am I?
Who am I? Yeah, why am I here, God?
What's my identity? Yeah.
So they're coming to you with those questions.
Yeah.
Now you're happy to help, but you're kind of saying, you're saying though, this is something that we used to get more
these questions would be answered in an environment that where we had more close friends, a tighter knit family structure, and a tight community. So we're surrounded by, like thinking, like believing people. I had a situation the other day talking to a person who from Zimbabwe in Africa, and he was talking about how the big families they used to have. And I was thinking about another conversation I had with someone, I think a friend of mine, who we were talking about some people that used to go to the school that we went to, and it came out, well, that family had 10 or 12 people. Well, if you roll the film back here on our culture, 200 years or so, 300 years and been back, if families had 12 or more kids, most of them did not survive. There were medicine wasn't what it was, so you'd wind up with a few kids out of maybe a third of those, and you were also surrounded by a society, a community of like-minded, like-thinking people.
Sure.
So kids grew up knowing how I should feel, how I should behave, and who I am, because it was reinforced all around.
Yes.
If you have those, and then plus you'd have kind of the pecking order of siblings. If you have a lot of siblings, they're each one looking for their identity. And if you got 12 of them, by the time you get down to, kids 7 through 12, there's not a lot of options left. Well, in today we have fewer children, so there's not quite as much work to do there. But if you have a family of of lots of kids, they're all going to live probably, and they're not going to be surrounded by a supportive community,
affirming culture.
What you have is what kind of the cake felt left out in the rain, where you have more of these questions. How should I feel? How should I behave? Who am I? Like I say, those questions would be answered, and there wouldn't be the market for counseling wouldn't be as much if we if we had not lost our families and our society.
Interesting subject this week, the problematic state of Christian mental health, addressing with Daniel Pryor, who is a life coach and counselor. If people are having some issues, they would like to talk to you, how do they do that?
Yeah, I can be contacted by phone at 425-778-6169. And also people contact me through email through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
You have locations in
Kirkland.
Kirkland and now Edmonds. And Edmonds.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to come back, keep looking at this subject, and also getting into how to build a body of Christ complete experience. We'll find out what that means
right. mm-hmm.
when we come back with more of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, joining Daniel Pryor today on his exploration of how Christians are struggling with their mental health. And a lot of it has to do with we are bought too much into the secular model. But mm-hmm. yours is BibleBasedCounselor.com. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get people back to a Christ-affirming worldview, mm-hmm. Yeah. even in their mental health.
Right. And as we talked just before the break, you know, in today's culture, you know, with our culture radically shifting toward materialism and secularism, and in the absence of strong community and supportive, like-minded persons, that community that we used to have, you know, a century ago or more, in that environment or absent of that environment, the council is there's an increasing market for counseling. And as you were saying, I'm not trying to, you know, shoo people away from my office.
No, business is good.
Yeah,
for you.
but this is what we're trying to address, particularly in Christian counseling. I don't get to do it a lot when I have secular based clients because they simply want answers without a worldview. It's very difficult. It's a very slippery slope.
Yeah, be very difficult to help somebody.
But fortunately, and the blessing of being a Christian is that you know your lifestyle and your walk is tied into a reality that's absolute. And this is why I find that it is so critical for Christians to find a home church, church home community. And that's kind of be what we're going to focus on in this second segment, because it's just fundamental. You know, we said earlier, the loss of community is why the increase in the need of counseling to answer those questions. How should I feel? How should I behave? Who am I? And so where's our community? Well, for believers, it's the body of Christ. And one of the things I run into, Mark, is that when I talk to people and say, well, I really don't have a church that I feel, why is it so difficult? And when I talk about some of those things, why is it so difficult for Christians in our area to find a church that feels like a home and it feels like a close community? And part of that is because I think we have become an individualistic society. Mm. And the individual that devolves in isolation, as we do in our individualistic society, it has a lot of difficulty fitting into community. Mm. I forget if it was Scott Peck or Martin Buber or one of those folks that said the self that evolves in isolation is not the self that would evolve in community. And I see a lot of this people, it's not as hard on families, of course. If the families are going out to find a church, they go as a family. So at least they're taking a sort of a culture into
right.
that and they have a kind of a buffer zone.
Right.
But for individuals going into a community, if you have been a loner and you've been outside of that and you've kind of bought into this individualistic worldview, it's difficult for you to move into a community and allow those barriers and defenses to be broken down. It feels very uncomfortable and very unnatural. This is kind of what we're up against. We don't like to change, number one. Number two, a lot of churches today are not communities.
Yeah, it's not totally the person's fault. A lot of churches are just kind of an entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they, some churches are much too large to feel like a community. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of superficiality in the church, and this is not something that people intend or maybe even are aware of, but they are superficial. Even prayer at the altar can be superficial. You know, I'm one of the prayer people, and I go up and pray for people at the altar, and we have our little moment, and that felt good. And then next Sunday when they come, I forgot their name or what we prayed about or who they are, or there's no follow-through because it's
well, so what's the answer to the right kind of spiritual? Is it more home group, more small group type of gatherings?
Well, I think what you have to do, so what I've got here is you have to build or find your own, your complete body of Christ experience, which we didn't have to do a couple of, 100 years ago. Or even when I grew up, Mark, and I may have been in a very ideal situation, but when I grew up here in this area, we had a small church that began at school, and that school is now Bellevue Christian. But this small church began that school about 5 years before my parents started attending this church. So I was a very young, but small church, and within a short period of time, I recall we had been to dinner at or lunch or something at the home of every person in that church. Mm. I knew where they lived. I knew what they believed. I knew how they lived. And it was a community. And if I stepped out of line and my parents weren't there, any parent there would know exactly what my parent wanted them to do, and I'd get a thrashing or something, you know.
That does feel like a long-gone era.
Yeah, it is. But it was very it was inclusive, and people understood how they should feel, how they should behave, and who they were in that situation. Now, we can't find that in a one-stop. So that was my education. That was my church. That was my community. It's hard to find that now, but we may have to build it.
So how would you build it so you can't find it? How do you build
it? So we're looking for different components, and today you might have to. So these are things that we need in our body of Christ experience. We certainly need worship. And what I mean by worship is worship should break your heart. If your church has a great song service and a great guitar and drummer and all that, but you don't cry, I think you need more, and maybe you can't get it at that church. Mm. Maybe you need some select worship CDs that you listen to where moments where your heart is just absolutely broken before God. Mm. And so we need worship. We need solid biblical teaching. Now, the church that I go to, I would not say that the pastor is a profound teacher, but he's very basic. And he's very organized.
He sticks to the Bible.
He's very fundamental, yes, and he sticks to the Bible. But if I want something heavier than that or something that reaches out a bit, you know, I'll listen to R.C. Sproul or someone, or I'll read a book, or I'll, get teaching that way. We need a place of self-expression. Some of these churches are just too big, and I need maybe there's a smaller venue. Maybe it's not connected with the church.
Yeah, big churches who have their act together do have a good small group program.
They have small group programs, and sometimes those are great programs, and even sometimes people might find that even those are not meeting those needs, and they might have to even go beyond that. Okay. Friends, you may not find friends at the same place that you find your Bible teaching and your worship and those kinds of things, but you're going to have to develop friends, and that's a whole other discussion. Unity. And communion, and vulnerability, a group of people that know you as you really are, and you can share openly with those. And that may just be a couple of people or maybe one person, and you may not find them in that same
place. Do you think
place.
That's why this the 12 steps and recovery groups and things have taken off so much is because that's like a secular answer to this very basic need?
They provide some of these needs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they provide some of these needs. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they don't grow from the same tree trunk. And then an opportunity for service. It needs to be a place where you can serve other people and get out of your own head
So that's a body of Christ complete experience. Worship, biblical teaching, self-expression, friends, unity, communion, not just communion as in wine and bread, but you mean shared vulnerability, a change environment where people can speak into your life and you can be accountable. and an opportunity for service.
Mm-hmm. And those might not be exhaustive, but those are certainly components that people need. And the thrust here is you're not likely to find them all in the same place. So you can't just go to church and punch the card and say, I was there on Sunday. And
yeah, I would say, and people, they chuck the church experience because they're not meeting all those things. Mm-hmm. Well, they can meet a few of these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you dig deeper and maybe find a small group in addition. And maybe a music group that you're part of.
And maybe for some people, maybe going to a church service is just a place to be humble. And, I've met a lot of people, and I've been here myself, where no matter where I went to church, the pastor just wasn't doing it right. The preacher just wasn't preaching right.
I mean, you heard that a lot.
I heard that, and I felt that.
You felt that, okay.
But maybe sometimes church is a place to go to be humble and look for people to serve. Look for hands to shake. Look for people to be friends with and to walk with. You know, maybe sometimes if you're not getting the teaching that you need anywhere, and you might get.
I would think teaching would be one of the easiest things to find somewhere else if you need it. A church, though, like you say, this community, this vulnerability part, that's something you're really only going to be able to get in a church.
And there is really is no there's no real reason or excuse or advantage to not going to a local church body in order to find these things. There's a reason to gather together, because Christ is in a collection of believers,
Well, there you go. That's the key to so much of our mental health issues. In the meantime, I feel like you're trying to talk yourself out of a job. But in our world, the truth of the matter is, people are isolated. Yeah. People do need some direction. They need maybe not counseling. They need some life coaching. Yeah. That's a nicer way to put it.
Hey, Mark, if I talked myself out of a job, I'd find another one.
But you do want to help people, whether it's individuals or couples or people having problems with their kids. You're there to help. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, phone me at 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169, or I can be contacted through email via the website BibleBasedCounselor.com.
More details as well at KCISRadio.com. This has been another great broadcast of the Sound Mind Show with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.